Hello, hello, everyone. This is Ali and Quinn on the Mercury Theater on air, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Toast Freeform Radio. In about 10 minutes, we're going to start what we're doing today, which is a reading of Ingeborg Bachman's The Good God of Manhattan. But for now, listen to LCD Sound System, I guess. Yeah, enjoy.
Like a carpet, no.
Can you hear me through the headphones? Okay, great. I'm going to do a brief introduction to this play. So this play is called The Good God of Manhattan, and it was written by Ingeborg Bachmann, who's an Austrian writer, poet, radio drama author in what I think was 1966. It's kind of hard to find info about when this was written, but I think it was at least first performed in 1966 in its original German. This version was translated by Lillian Friedberg in 1999. Bachmann was an Austrian author and poet. She wrote this book, Melina, which is one of the best books ever, in my opinion, and was the only female writer that Thomas Bernhard respected, which is what he said when she died. Not to make it about him, she's really awesome. There's also a small disclaimer. A few words have been changed in this just to stay within FCC regulations so that, you know, this is daytime radio. This is an evening radio. Yeah, we have a bunch of friends here. We're reading this play. Most of them have not even looked at this before, but it's going to be awesome. And yeah, so I guess let's get on with it. Yep. Wait one moment, because how do I get this to play through? Ooh, I don't know if I can wait. I'm gonna.
Self-destruct in 3, 2...
Courtroom. It's the height of the summer. Speaking from the entryway into the room.
Your Honor.
Yes.
May the accused be brought in.
Yes. Please turn off the fan.
Pardon my saying so, but in this heat...
Turn it off!
The door opens. A warden enters with the accused.
Your Honor, the accused. Over here. You'll have to keep standing during the hearing, understand?
The fan rotates more slowly and comes to a stop.
Please be seated.
Sit down. Please be seated. You're allowed.
You can go, Sweeney. You too, Rossi.
As you wish, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Both men leave the room. It's silent for a moment. The judge leafs through his papers.
New York City, August 1950. Your name? Birth? When? Where? Skin color? Build height? Religious denomination? Average alcohol consumption? Mental illnesses?
Not that I know of.
Suspected in the murder...
of?
This heat is killing me. There's never been a summer this hot, do you recall? 6 years ago, maybe. And Joe Bamfield and Ellen
Hay.
Correct. When both were killed by a bomb, that summer was as hot as this.
I remember.
Of course, we weren't here to discuss high temperatures.
I should hope not.
It would be foolish of me to let you answer the questions I already know the answers to.
You?
It is true, for example, that you occupied 3 rooms of an old house at the corner of 63rd Street and 5th Avenue near the zoo.
Ugh.
You were arrested by officers Bondi and Kramer in the lobby of the Atlantic Hotel shortly after it happened, as you hastened toward the exit.
Hastened?
Well, it is true, after all, that you...
Of course, that's correct. But if you'll forgive me for returning to your first question, do you really know who I am?
The good God of Manhattan, some say. We've got squirrels.
A good God. Not bad.
3 sacks of squirrel fodder were found in your apartment.
And confiscated. What a shame. I was good business for Manhattan. Or have you ever seen anyone else using those vending machines in the subway station?
So you bought those nuts for the animals? Are you an animal lover? There are said to be countries where those rodents are shy and innocent, but our squirrels seem mean and rotten, and are rumored to be in league with the forces of evil. Or are you an animal trader? A breeder? I'm informing you that the hearing is now officially in session.
I don't know if I can satisfy anyone's curiosity. What do you expect of me? Justification? The best I could do would be to enlighten you. But if you would permit an old man to offer you some advice...
Looks as though I've kept pretty well. I'm not exactly a spring chicken myself anymore.
Begin at the beginning or at the end. But be systematic about your questioning, sir. I see you've cleared out my office and have my card file and correspondence in front of you. You couldn't have had it much easier. My work was more tedious, painstaking, detective work, and I couldn't have completed it without the squirrels. They were my news wire service. They were mail carriers, messengers, scouts, and agents. Hundreds of them were my subjects. 2 of them, Billy and Frankie, were my captains. You could really count on them. I never planted a bomb until the 2 of them found the place and calculated the time that would be dead certain. A time and a place that would be dead certain.
Dead certain of what?
Of hitting it, what it was, who it was intended for.
And who was it intended for?
Oh, you know. How do you view the affair?
I don't see it at all anymore. I see a series of assassinations executed against people who never bothered anyone by a lunatic who was nowhere to be found.
I thought you would take your psychiatrist's evaluation seriously.
I only had held that opinion until I became aware of the fact that you were an author. You were the author of these events.
Author. Very good. The author.
The investigations are already closed, with the exception of this last case, that is.
This last case, as you choose to call it, in your questionable jargon, isn't closed for me either. Since I didn't have the opportunity to properly finish the job, I'd like to know what happened to the young man who got away.
Got away?
I doubt he had so much as a scratch on him.
Came away unscathed, but...
Didn't he take it off?
Certainly. He took the ship to Cherbourg the very same evening.
Ha! There you have it. This is the person who swore he wouldn't take the ship, but would live and die with her, consign himself to uncertainty and need, found his heritage and his language, and speak to her in a new tongue till the end of his days, and took the ship without even taking the time to bury her. Then he went on land, over there, and forgot that he'd felt less ground beneath his feet at the sight of her body blown to bits than he had at the sight of the Atlantic.
Yes, he didn't bury that girl.
Didn't even bury her. Boy, he's really got a right to live. But I'll tell you how it came to that. How does the saying go? The whole truth and nothing but the truth? But I'm also the star witness and will soon be abandoning my role as the accused.
I'm ready.
It's barely been 2 weeks since I received news of the incident at Grand Central Station. It came from a very low-level animal whose services I'd never considered very important and who was just entering his probationary period.
And what happened at the train station?
Well, nothing special. About 5 o'clock in the afternoon, shortly after the express train from Boston had entered the underworld of Grand Central, and the travelers milled out into the halls and exits, following the red heat and the verdant green glimmer of the arrows while organ music welled up from the walls, when all the clocks were running and the light in the neon tubes danced without restraint against the everlasting darkness, 2 newcomers arrived. You might think that's nothing special, and you'd be entirely right. And yet, it is always a place, the position of the hand on the clock, an incredible piece of music, a quivering train on a track, and a whir of human voices that set the stage for it to begin again.
For what to begin?
She walked behind him, dressed in pink and white. There were so many voices there, and hers was null and void. There were so many possibilities. And this was the least likely of all, but she tried it anyway. Go on when the... Is this me? Go on when the light turns green. You can think about it while there's still time. You can't take it with you. Go on and speed up. Sleep. Speed up dreams with us. Cloud bursts, rain falling down. Speed up. Earthquake, easier, safer. Think about it when the light turns green. Beware the red and the brown. The black and the yellow peril. What are our murderers supposed to think? You can't stop! Stop when the lights turn red.
At Grand Central Station.
Are you looking for the exit?
Excuse me?
I thought after having seen you in Boston that you were a stranger here.
Don't worry about me. I'll find my way around.
How did you like Boston?
Well,
And New York? Do you like New York?
Thanks. I don't know yet.
I sat in the same compartment the whole trip, 2 rows behind you. You were at our last dance at the university.
Yes, by coincidence.
My name's Jennifer. You looked my way once and I thought you might come and dance with me.
Oh, I can't dance.
I could see that. I like Europeans. What brings you to New York?
Oh, I just wanted to get away. I only have a couple hours or a couple of days till the next ship sails.
How awful. Do you have to go back?
I don't have to, but I want to. Didn't I say that already?
No.
Yes. Goodbye. It's been my pleasure.
Then I'll just get in this lavender taxi, and you can take the white and blue one behind it. The two will cross paths again, and again, over on Broadway, and further on up in the Bronx. But you won't be inside anymore, and neither will I.
Listen, miss.
Jennifer.
Lavender isn't your color. How old are you?
23.
And what do you do?
I'm studying political science, but I started and I'd really like to see the world. I know hotels in Boston and Philadelphia, and might soon get to know one in Paris, but I don't know any in New York. Nuts, isn't it?
Oh, please.
So I couldn't be of any assistance to you?
Then you can come with me after all, since it's so crazy that you don't know your way around here. I may not know any hotels here either, but it doesn't bother me. Anyway, I'm hungry, and have to get something to eat before I can think another thought.
People are passing by, and Jennifer takes a few more steps.
Jennifer! Hey, wait a minute. What are you doing?
Nuts! I'm going to fetch some nuts from the vending machine because you're so hungry. Here's how it works.
She pulls down the handle.
The music is free. You get nuts and music to last a lifetime for some pocket change.
My God, that looks like squirrel food.
They're nice and fresh, I swear. And I could swear the squirrel cart all of their money over there here just to make sure their hoard of good food will be replenished.
Huh. Guess what I saw, Jennifer? A squirrel. And it handed me a letter.
Really?
What it says is, don't tell anyone.
Anything else?
You will spend this evening with Jennifer on this heavenly earth.
Why heavenly earth?
Because that's what it's called here. Manana Hatata. At least, that's how Indians explained it to me. But they were all decked out in costumes and looked about as authentic as those buffaloes trained to run on racetracks.
Who's the letter from?
Can't read the signature. These nuts aren't very good, but we still have to eat something sensible. What is sensible?
Italian and Chinese, Spanish and Russian, artichokes swimming in oil, weak tea with bird's nest soups, leeks to go with the tender snake meat, and seafood fished from all the world's oceans, followed by fruits harvested from every country in the world.
I could go for a cold Arctic blast because it's so warm here. And a dim-lit room, some snow geese, and a drink from Greenland filled with ice floes. I'd like to spend a couple more hours looking at you, your cold shoulders, chilly face, cool round eyes. Do you believe that would be possible?
I firmly believe so.
In an after-hour bar, then on the street, later in a seedy hotel.
Who's to say you can't dance?
Come on, let's go.
My poor hands, my poor, poor shoulders. Please don't do that. Don't do anything to me.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Where are we? Why have the waiters stopped singing?
You've had enough to drink. That was back there. They don't even have singing waiters here.
Why not?
Just a minute. Just give me 1 minute of your time. Your hand, madame. I want to read the future in the palm of your hand.
Come on.
Yeah, the future. Wait, she wants to predict the future for me. Show her your hands, too. She's a real gypsy woman. Brown, red, and so sad. Are you for real, dear lady? Are you?
I can't read anything from your hand. Did you hurt yourself?
It was him. He dug his nails into them. It still hurts a lot.
Jennifer.
Nothing? Nothing at all?
I could be mistaken.
You don't say.
And his hand?
You will live a long life, young man. You will never forget.
I barely dare hope as much.
But you didn't even look at his hand.
Calm down. All those gypsy women need is one look at the dregs at the bottom of the glass you were drinking from. There's a lemon rind still swirling in mine. That says it all.
Yes, and good night.
She didn't take the money, you know. I'd really like to know all the places I've been with you.
For your diary? You're taking notes?
No, I don't think it's diary material.
Come on, the fresh air will do you good. Watch out, it's 3 steps up.
2 o'clock in the morning and who's still sitting on the stoop? You poor man, don't you need to get some sleep?
Thanks for the inquiry. Whatever a poor Mac like Mac is able.
Are you an actor?
Going down in the pain-racked city in the everlasting agony lost amid lost souls. I'm only asking for a little something for me and my kind.
2 I have a little sack of nuts. $2 and a scarf. Here, take it.
On no one's behalf, and with no one's blessing, and with no one to thank, there are too many of us here. Ma'am, in this city of beggars, we have no color. We envy the white skin and the black. The Bowery is the end of the line. But you belong up there on the L with your gentleman friend. Hurry before they tear it down. It sinks to high heaven down here. The station is just around the corner and to the left. May you rest in peace.
Thank you. My dear gentleman friend, I'm too tired to ride home. Let's walk.
By 10 a.m. tomorrow. I absolutely must. Sorry. We'll check into the first hotel we find. Is that okay with you?
Say something about my eyes again.
I don't think it makes any sense to keep looking much longer. Not this late.
Or about my mouth? How did that go? You brushed my lips with a straw and my knee with your knee. And then you said...
Passe de history.
No.
Well, then I'll tell you right now that I'd appreciate it if you didn't go into hysterics about it.
Let's keep going. Let's go on a lot longer.
It's almost morning, baby. What do you usually do at this hour?
Sleep. But when there's a dance on the weekend, I do stay up this late. And Arthur kisses me goodnight. Or Mark, or Truman. Didn't you meet Truman? He was the one with me back there, and he's very, very nice. Now it's your turn to kiss me goodnight.
Oh, that's better left to Truman or Mark.
Of course you don't have to. Don't tell anyone. Where are you... What are you doing here in front of this horrible hotel?
Be reasonable.
They entered the building.
What do you want?
Do you have any rooms available?
Just on the ground floor. Room number 1, pay in advance. Here's a key. Check out by noon.
They proceed without speaking down the corridor. He unlocks the door and locks it behind them after they've entered.
Never go to a hotel with a stranger, right?
Heard that line before.
Oh, the air in here is terrible. There isn't even a fan.
That's so bad.
But I can't. Just right now, I just can't. I don't know. The first thing about you, please tell me something about yourself. Let's talk and think about it.
Take off your clothes.
My poor hands, my poor, poor hands. Will you look at my poor hands?
Aren't you the one who asked me to do all this? I never would have dreamed about hurting someone like that.
If the room weren't so dirty and dark, a hangout for flies and roaches. I'm even sticky from the syrupy, thick humidity. Can you taste the sweetness in the air?
Oh, you're so sweet, Jennifer. Don't think about it. Just close your eyes. Oh no, did I really say sweet?
Yes.
That's not at all what I wanted to say. You just blurt stuff like you're, out without thinking, you know? To be honest, what I'm really thinking is that I have to be at the ship's office early tomorrow.
What was that again that the gypsy woman said?
Something different from what the handwriting analyst said who came to our table just before she did. The exaggerated tails in your writing indicated sensuality. My cramped capitals show that I have something to hide, and the T's crossed haste significant bold imagination. Inasmuch as the will and the compatible astrological signs are there, harmonious partnership cannot be ruled out. But, my sweet Jennifer, how fleeting the night that will bring close without knowing what long days each of us has in the past.
Should I turn off the light?
Turn it off. And believe me, I'd love to blanket you in snow, to make you even colder than you were, to make you regret even more than you do. I, too, will live to regret it, or forget about it. In the best-case scenario, you never know ahead of time. Even afterwards, one night is too much and a little too little.
I could turn on the radio. There must be a late-night broadcast. When I come home, I always listen to music before I go to sleep. That's really nice.
Music? My dear Jennifer, you're not going to listen to music now. I won't have it.
No. You're terrible. Why are you doing this? Why?
Why do you kiss me then? Why? Jennifer. Wake up. Miss, please.
What time is it?
12 o'clock. I should have long since been...
Long since, of course.
It's dark as night in here. One underground window, an airwell that doesn't even let in the light of day. You were right, by the way, about the dirt.
Oh, just get up and go then. I never asked you to wait for me. You won't get your boarding ticket and you'll miss the boat.
Don't talk like that, Jennifer. You were simply irresistible and I'm very grateful.
It's just awful, isn't it?
What?
Waking up in the dark like this and down so low on the ground, with this taste in your mouth?
Well, go have breakfast and you'll feel better.
I won't do, and I won't feel anything anymore.
If you simply get dressed, darling, then we can talk about it in peace. If we could just get out of here.
Give me my clothes. You can touch them, and you don't have to turn your back. What kind of distance and proper etiquette are you suddenly trying to get me used to now?
I'm sorry.
Even though I was so irresistible?
Please forgive me. I should have known better.
Are you checking out, or...
Are you checking out or staying in?
We're on our way out.
Well, get on with it then. What are we supposed to clean up out there? Unbelievable. It's past noon already. There ought to be,
Just keep going when the light turns green. Keep going. Trust us. Entrust us. Why not enjoy without regret? Tell everyone. Tell the whole world. First dibs on the sun and then count on the moon. The stuff of dreams, poets, lighter, tighter, more flammable. The shirt off your back, the way of all flesh. Why blame others? Hep it up, turn it on, drink it down. Broaden your horizons, gaze into the future. Think about it when the light turns red. Stop, you can't do it.
A letter from a squirrel?
No letter from a squirrel.
In the courtroom.
That's how it started.
Looks like the beginning of the end.
You don't understand. There was peril in the air, and I got wind of it, sensing that it had begun again. It was from that very moment that I began following their trail.
What was there to follow? I don't see anything unusual about a young man on vacation, looking for and finding a little adventure. Vacation flings, the usual, not incredibly ethical and rather casual. A case as common as a cult.
No case. The day had come. The creatures of the night had vanished.
Are you a moralist? Does this sort of thing inspire your moral outrage?
Oh, no. I have nothing against the casual companions, the bored or the lonely, and their little mishaps. They don't want to be killing time all alone, you know? But didn't you notice how it started? He said, a letter from the squirrel. because he was a bit unsure of himself. He shouldn't have posed it as a question like that. She answered, "No, the letter from the squirrel." She should have answered his question. She never should have answered his question like that. So he kept questioning her.
Back at the hotel.
Hungry?
Is that so important right now?
Yes.
Hungry.
For coffee and white toast and orange juice?
Incredibly hungry. For everything.
Back in the courtroom.
These words prompted her to look at him again. The day had come.
So they went for breakfast. From the cafeteria, he telephoned the cruise line, who informed him that he should inquire again tomorrow, or the next day, because they still couldn't guarantee him passage on the Ile de France.
Day had broken, and the day had come. Life teemed up and down every nook, cranny, crook and cranny, in town, and the raging hymn began again, praising labor, wages, and higher profits. The chimneys stoked in a roar and stood like the columns of a revived Nineveh or Babylon, and both the dunce caps and the skull caps of the city skyscrapers brushed against the gray tropical sky, dripping with humidity and acting like a shapeless, scummy sponge, sopping on the roofs below. The great printing presses were filled with the rhapsody of typesettings, gripping into current and future events, reporting and announcing. Tons of cabbage heads spilled out over the marketplace. Hundreds of corpses were manicured, made up, and put on display in the funeral homes. Yesterday's waste and refuse was incinerated in a high-pressure atmospheric inferno, and shoppers rummaged for replenishment and the tatters of tomorrow. Packages rolled along the conveyor belts, and the escalators hauled people up and down like bunches of grapes through the squadrons of soot, smog, and exhaust. The savage summer roared into color in the auto body paint shops, and the hats of women sauntering down Park Avenue wore and in the gleaming containers for rice and honey, turkey and crab. And the people came to life. Wherever they went, they felt they belonged in the city. The only one they had ever discovered and designated for themselves to satisfy every wish and desire. This city of cities, which took everyone in the arms of its desperation and agony, and where anything and everything can thrive. Everything. Even this.
Crime. Murder.
That wasn't what I had in mind.
Okay, good. So they both left the cafeteria after the phone call and wended their way by subway over to 125th Street in Harlem. There they stopped at a bar, where they picked up two swizzle sticks as souvenirs, and finally at a church where they absconded with two paper fans depicting scenes from the life of St. Catherine of Siena. They were spotted in a record store listening to popular music cuts in the company of several men. Shortly thereafter, following the advice of a travel agency, they proceeded to Lexington Avenue and occupied a room at the Atlantic Hotel.
There's one minor detail I'd hate to see get swept under the carpet. The thing about the floor. In the event that you're sincerely looking for an explanation.
The thing about the floor.
The lobby of the Atlantic Hotel.
Room number 307 on the 7th floor is vacant, sir. On the other side of the courtyard. It's so very quiet.
No view of the street? Nothing higher up?
Nothing else you can do? Nothing really?
I'm sorry. If you'd stick around a while longer, I could put you down for a street-side room higher up, but you never know.
Well, we don't know either, if we'll still be here, but please keep in mind. Are you unhappy?
No, it's probably better, and this way nothing can bother us anyway.
This way, please! Going up!
The elevator closes, going up.
Going up! What a trip. I can feel it in my ears. And you'll see what's up there. An air conditioner with cold air, plenty of water, and maid service by the hour.
Elevator stops. They proceed down the hall to their room.
I'm sure looking forward to satisfying my curiosity about your wet hairs, your wet mouth, your eyelashes laden with droplets of water. You'll be sprite and white and sensible. We won't accuse each other of anything.
When your ship sails, it sails. If I have to wave goodbye, I'll wave. If I may kiss you one last time, I will. quick on the cheek. Unlock the door.
In a room on the 7th floor.
Yes, Jennifer, my eager little servant. But being the skeptic I am, I'm going to put you in a tougher test. Tell me, when's tomorrow?
Tomorrow at the earliest.
And today?
Today at the latest.
And now?
Right now.
In the courtroom.
So further intimacies ensued.
No, no. You could hardly call them that. Please refrain from saying these ridiculous platitudes. It was an agreement to stay at a distance.
Well, let's get to the point.
But this distance can't quite be maintained. It always deploys cracks. There was this laughter, for example. Yes, to be precise, that's where it started. With those indescribable smiles. They just kept laughing without any apparent cause.
Who kept laughing?
The people it starts happening to.
Lunacy!
Lunacy, yes. They laugh in public and still somehow behind closed doors. Or smile at passerby, just for the sake of it. Insinuating like conspirators who don't want the others to know that the rules of the game are about to become obsolete. Their smiles sit there like a question mark. And a ruthless one at that.
Even so, there's no harm done in that.
On the contrary. Like a cigarette butt smoldering on a carpet, they start burning a hole in the Earth's crust with their ceaseless smiling.
Get to the point, sir.
They got up around midnight. Of course, that's an hour. No one but bank robbers, barmaids, and night watchmen get up. They went to the Brooklyn Bridge.
Right. To the bridge. Why?
No reason. They went and stood there, leaning against the girders for a moment of silence before they started talking again.
Out in the open air.
If you come to Chinatown with me, I'll buy you a blouse with a dragon on it.
That way I'll be protected.
And if you come to the village, I'll steal you a fire escape ladder so you can save yourself from the flames, because I want to love you for a long time to come.
That way I'll be saved.
If you come along to Harlem, I'll buy you some dark skins and you can go incognito. Because I alone want to love you for a long time to come.
How long?
Play along, Jennifer. Don't ask me how long. You're supposed to say, that way I'll be sheltered.
That way I'll be sheltered.
And if you accompany me down to along the Bowery, I'll give you the long lifelines on beggar's hands because I want you to love me till you're old and frail.
A letter from the squirrel. Finally, another letter from the squirrel.
What's it say?
Don't tell anyone. Tonight, Jennifer will be waiting for you on Broadway under the Pepsi Cola waterfall beside the big Lucky Strike smoke ring.
I won't tell anyone.
Will you come?
Come, because I'm coming already.
In the courtroom.
So they were playing around now. They played the game called Love. They played it everywhere. In the dark street corners. Stupid line. And dim lit bars on Broadway. Under the flickering spotlights, beaming in front of palaces on the silver screen on 42nd Street, in a torrent of artificial sunlight and comets. But the same thing happened to them when they played the game as when they laughed. They broke every rule in the book.
Around 5 o'clock in the morning, they came back to the hotel.
Weary and worn from intoxication and oblivion, they walk side by side, staring into space ahead of them, further removed from one another than they'd been in their game playing, their laughter or their sleep. Once upstairs, the dumb embraces, numb obligations, performed without protest, all within bounds, but not for much longer. Not for much longer.
This rummaging around in these subversive activities is completely pointless. It's not bringing any motive to light. The chain of events doesn't prove anything. And now, finally, I want to know your motive. Indignation? No. Envy?
Give me some time. I'm acting on good faith.
As a good god should.
I have acted on good faith for a long time, even then. You won't believe me, but I gave them every chance in the world. On the third day, the hotel registration clerk still didn't have another room for them. That afternoon, they drove around Central Park in a horse and buggy and ended up in the middle of a parade. The drum majorettes danced gingerly along in front of them, flinging their legs up in the air, indestructibly young and firm, asphalt ballerinas, spinning their cartwheels for their victims and victors of war. Streamers festooned the treetops, the roofs of cars and people's heads. Children exulted and the squirrels lorded over what remained of the lawns, marking their territory with discarded nutshells. When the vendors' booths and vending machines came together beside the water lilies in the pond, there were a couple of boards set up with a curtain draped over them, and for 5 cents, anyone could come in and take in a theater performance, like none other in the world. The speakers pulling the strings on the puppets were Billy and Frankie, the two squirrels. Because my Horace, my horse, bloodthirsty captains loved nothing more than spending their free time parading the gruesome spectacles before the people's eyes in the beautiful words of poets. As soon as a dozen spectators had gathered, the curtain was closed behind them. Two other squirrels dug their claws into the cloth and clung to the wood like living hooks. Inside, it was dark. Only the floor of the little stage glowed with a phosphorescent veneer, a stage set for corpses. The two protagonists made the program announcements and give directions from backstage.
In the theater.
For only 5 cents, folks. Five of the world's greatest love stories.
Orpheus and Eurysides.
Tristan and Isolde.
Romeo and Juliet.
Abelard and Heloise.
Francesca and Paola.
Go to hell with them. Go to hell.
Shut up. And now more about the first piece. The story of how Eurysides turned to stone and her tragic end in the realm of the dead. Orpheus, the singer, torn to pieces by crazed wenches and in the end, nature's lyrical lament.
Dead. Torn. Done.
Tristan and Isolde, a piece about a long-haired queen and her hero, a potent love potion, a black sail at the right time and a long, painful death.
To hell with them!
That doesn't come until later, you fool! And immediately following the sweet death of handsome Romeo and his Juliet in Verona's darkness, with tombs, ancient walls, a moon, and a lot of animosity as set pieces.
Bravo! Don't forget to include the daggers.
Take a jaunt into medieval France. Abelard and Heloise.
Oh, Billy, I just can't take these two seriously. What a fantastic love, and how Heloise will pine. Oh, how embarrassing that's going to be. I've always gotten a little itchy when it comes to the part where that proud Titiana embraces the asshead. And now this, it's killing me. To hell with them.
Hell doesn't come till the end.
I know, Paolo and Francesca. I just find it so amusing.
Ladies and gentlemen, two lovers, again far away in Italy, a storybook and its seduction provides the background in the inferno, the future prospect.
Didn't I say, to hell with them.
Don't worry, you'll see. Smell and sample enough blood and gore, screaming oaths.
And the fires of hell.
And you'll stare straight into purgatory. That's our modest program for today, a preview of tomorrow's show, the awful love and death of several other couples, as handed down through chronicles, well-known melodramas, and newspaper reports from all over the world, from the Indian Death Valleys, the bestial Rhineland, and putrid Venice, all of which provide excellent backdrops for the development of noble sentiments.
And now, your attention please, all eyes and ears on the action.
Out in the open air.
What an effort they put into the performance in the play. And there's so much fun. Didn't you enjoy it?
Sure, but not a single squirrel passed us a letter, did it?
Not that I noticed. They're so sneaky about it. Let me look in my purse. There's a note here that says...
To hell with you.
Oh no, but it says, please go home.
In the courtroom. And they returned again and again to that room. Oh, but what those walls must have seen. It's a wonder they held out.
That's one thing walls are good for. To house a natural and healthy emotion.
You mean to say let it come into its own? But that's neither natural nor healthy. They lay there, entwined in their embrace, and were already thinking ahead to the next one. They succumbed to a desire that could never have been conceived as such by the Creator. With an attitude of solemnity, more solemn than any earnest in the world, making a vow to the present moment and nothing else with each successive glance, every gasp, and every gasp into this most untenable matter in the world, this flesh tasting of bitter tragedy, sentenced for life to lie captive in its throes.
In a room on the 7th floor.
Hey, you listening?
Yes.
Anytime now. I know I'll get to the point of promising to write your letters after I go home, but you shouldn't believe me. Would you like to know what I would have written?
Yes.
My darling, I've thought everything over carefully. You've become so important, so precious to me. Please write me immediately, preferably in care of general delivery, because, well, I'll explain that later. And by return mail, if these days were for you to... Da-dum-da-dum. My embrace spanned every inch of distance between us, my little love. We simply must meet again. We'll find a way. We will. We should. We must defy every inch of distance. Write me.
You mean you'll really write to me?
No, that was just a joke. I'm afraid I won't be in any mood for jokes after all this.
I'm not sure I understand.
You'll see soon enough. I'm intoxicated with the thought of you, my soulmate, and mad with desire for you. You are like wine in my blood, and emerge from my dreams and drunkenness to ruin me.
What's that supposed to mean?
They're just words.
To express your feelings?
I stripped myself of my feelings and threw them in a heap with the clothes.
Is that your inner self speaking to me?
My inner self? I've searched and researched diligently for many years, but I've yet to meet anyone inside myself.
Phone! Should I answer it?
Go ahead.
Hello, yes, I got it. Thanks, that's fine. There's a place reserved for you on the ship. You're free to go.
Think about it while there's still time to give God a chance and brighten up your life. Put a bee in your bonnet and reinforce steel. Do good and do it fast. Hurricane Diana, 100 miles an hour, up and coming at you like never before. Property damage, human life, turn it in, turn it out, and turn it off. You can't take it with you. Just go on and keep going. Think about it when the light turns green.
In a room on the 7th floor.
I'm done. My suitcase is packed. It's so light. Could just as well be filled with feathers. Light as a flight bag. What do I have to say to you now? Farewell?
Don't say anything, Jennifer. If you can, say it was easy. It was beautiful. It'll be easy.
It was beautiful.
I'd rather not say anything.
You want to go first, or should I? You can check to see that I haven't left a handkerchief behind. I always leave one lying somewhere. A handkerchief for waving goodbye, with a dab of perfume, but not a drop of tears.
Let's go together.
No.
Just as far as the street.
Whatever. It doesn't matter anymore anyways, don't you think?
Yeah, that's about it.
They open the door, walk down the hall into the elevator, then take the elevator down.
Ground floor?
Ground floor.
It'll be easy.
I have to pay the bill.
Nope. I'm going ahead. I'm gone.
Have no fear of Mondays and Tuesdays, Judgment Day for heroines and bats. You can't take it with you. Hands off your hearts and your seals. Feel for yourself, see for yourself, listen and follow along. The closer you are to him, the closer you are to nothing. Think on it, build on it, count on it. Think about it while there's still time.
On the street.
Jennifer! Jennifer! Jennifer!
Veterans Convention, Elks Club Convention, Fife and Drum Corps Convention.
Oh, she must have come by here with a suitcase, in pink and white, shoulder-length curly hair, and that look. How do you like that?
I ain't seen nothing. Pink and white, they're all like that. It happened to me once. You never see him again.
But ask that cop guy there, yeah, the one with the helmet on his head and the club in his hand.
Oh, she can't have gotten far. Looks just about any girl, and she is, Well, she's my one and only.
Are you a relative?
I took off running as soon as I noticed things had changed, but she had a 100-yard head start.
What's a little head start? You're a very nice man, but I've got to help the kids across the street. Then we can talk. Isn't that right, kids?
Yes, take us across.
Take us across, carry us.
Carry us.
Come on, old man.
Jennifer.
You?
Give me your suitcase.
Jan.
Are you out of your mind? You're standing here blowing the palms of my hands and then... brushing the hair out of your eyes and we're going back.
Really?
How could you have left in the first place? I'll never forgive you for it.
Jan.
I should beat you up in front of all these people. I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah, right.
Would you leave again if I sent you away?
No.
Have you at least figured out now where the hell you belong, even though you've obviously lost your mind?
I just don't know where else we would go. But if you knew the place, I'd know it too.
I know the place. Now, tell me that's not a hint.
Yes.
When I asked for the bill, I heard that a room upstairs was vacated, street side on the 13th floor. Of course, I had to stop and think, and I just had to run after you and tell you. What do you say?
Yes.
Just because you wished for it and because I haven't yet granted you one single wish, not even a gift.
Kiss me. I don't care if it's right out here on the street. Even in front of this window filled with oranges and brown pineapples. Even right in front of the ambulance's Red Cross and the Arabian camel the circus man is parading through. Even in front of the peach pits and the pits of green, unripened dates flying at you when the... throw them away.
And you're not afraid of losing face here on the street?
No. And I know why, too.
Do tell.
Because everyone can see that I'm just about completely lost, and they sense that I have no pride and would die of degradation. That I'd just let you lynch me or throw me on a trash heap, like a piece of junk, after each of the successive games you invent.
You must have been very proud once, and I'm very proud of you now. Jennifer?
I'm just a little dizzy, either because you made love to me or because you're about to make love to me again. Hold me tight.
Just don't say anything else. We're almost there. I'll tuck you in between the clean sheets and get you something to drink. Ice for your forehead and a cigarette. Not another word.
I think I just about passed out. Forgive me. I didn't know you could just up and faint like that.
In the courtroom.
Care for some refreshments? Cigarette, I guess.
Just a sip of water.
The 13th floor is, of course, better than the 7th, and they're both much better than being on the ground floor. Especially here.
Everywhere. The air is thinner up there. The sound waves just roll off the walls. It's like everything regresses, floating slowly and visibly down to some driftwood, waiting on a riverbed below. Old friends, old baggage, helpless ferrymen with short-sighted aims. A micro-edition of the daily routine is amusing. Seen from some distance, common sense shrinks and soon resembles but a grain of maddening stupidity.
So the two of them completely lost it. I mean, they're common sense.
Is that you talking like that? What makes you say that?
Intuition.
Oh, yeah? There is something in the air in the heights where eagles don't nest. Freedom. A shapeless mass of evil that takes possession of the lover's flanex and defends it blindly, rife with delusion. That's why, for as long as I can remember, I've been on the heels of that gypsy woman who doesn't have a home and isn't at home anywhere in the world and prefers these eagles' nests. The one stooping around down there who suddenly leaps up off the asphalt so her feet doesn't leave any prints behind. Love, you could say, is that certain someone we can never summon or sum up. One that will never testify. Nowhere to be found, not even where she was just a moment ago, and yet I could swear she was she who still loved those two enough yesterday to let the cactus burst into purple and the poplar trees just into the darkness, has already found two others to love today, enough to make mimosas quiver.
that her conscience isn't bothered by it, but she laces her black bodice tightly, twirls her red skirt, and puts yet another somehow in the dark with her immortal eyes, shadowed in sorrow.
I don't believe it. No, she certainly can't be summoned, but what can be summed up, the facts, perhaps. How's the view on the 13th floor?
The room is brighter than the day of light, than the light of day. When you return from getting groceries, you fry up some fish with pale, glassy eyes in the kitchenette, then wash a pair of stockings and a pair of socks in the bathroom, hanging them on the steel bar that could have been used to do gymnastics, if there were nothing better to do. You already start to call it home, lean out of the window sometimes, pluck stalks of straw from an advertisement for a broom, and stick them on the wall to make the room look much more like a nest. You lock the door twice, then get up a third time to see if it really is locked. You go out less and less. You run out of cigarettes, and one of you wants to go out and get some, but you go together after all.
Letters from a squirrel?
Tons of them. The mail's piling up, and Billy and Frankie dance up and down the hallway and peep through the keyhole.
In the hotel hallway. How glad I am that no one knows.
What I don't know can't hurt me, so...
A poet, and you don't even know it, idiot! What do you have in mind for the girl?
To hell with her!
And for him?
He's a clever one, but it's hit him pretty bad. Smartass, scandalmonger, all the world is crass.
Just tell me what it's going to be.
Spanish torture.
Spanish?
You'll die laughing. Thumbscrews are nothing compared to this. Burning slats, trimming on their nails, or a colonial officer's prank, and a flogging would be a pleasure compared to this. Here, I'll whisper it in your ear. Uh-huh.
Is it a deal?
Deal. If our stringent master will permit it.
In the courtroom.
We aren't living in the Middle Ages, you know.
No. This is the dawn of the modern age. Or the apocalypse, as you like.
It's unbearable, this heat. It's already getting dark, I suppose.
I'm assuming that you, like most people these days, are in favor of mass murder as opposed to individual executions. But I had to develop a rather old-fashioned procedure to accommodate those individuals who have chosen to abstain. So I don't expect that they'll show me any mercy.
Mercy from whom? And to what end?
There's one thing I have to clarify. I only used and manipulated my henchmen's deviant imaginations. My sobriety couldn't stand them. Such excesses are only found among creatures of the basest nature. I am a stranger to the rampant will to kill.
Are you contesting it?
Justice has only been served.
Are you contesting? Why beg for mercy, then?
Okay, then. No mercy.
Good advice at half the price. Dirt cheaper, do or die. No mercy for the nightingales. Think about it, no matter what happens. Forward march, enlisted men to the front. Jackals and wolves to the back. Peace can't stand alone. No mercy till the end of time. Drastic measures more drastic. Down with all the walls. You can't take it with you. Stop, see the light under the light. Stop.
In a room on the 30th floor.
Save me!
Is that what's become of you? Have you really turned into this? This is what happened to a rosy pink